Good morning.
Don't prostrate to the cat. He likes it too much. Darling, come over here.
Okay.
Yeah, go to Mark. Yeah, I know, he's waiting for someone nice and warm to sit there.
Everyone's thing.
Yeah. Look, if they have to put their stuff there, yeah. Then it's yours.
There's
yeah.
A table here. Yeah.
So he's not coming back.
Teaching Prayers tab, page 5. To the founder, the endowed, transcendent destroyer, the one gone beyond, the foe destroyer, the completely perfected, fully awakened being, perfect in knowledge and in good conduct, Sugata, knower of the world, supreme guide of human beings to be tamed, teacher of gods and human beings, to you, the completely and fully awakened one, the endowed transcendent destroyer, the glorious conqueror, the subduer from Shakyapan, I prostrate, make offerings, and go for refuge. To the founder, the endowed transcendent destroyer, the one gone beyond, the foe destroyer, the completely perfected, fully awakened being, perfect in knowledge and in good conduct, the Sugata, knower of the world, supreme guide of human beings to be tamed, teacher of gods and human beings, to you, the completely and fully awakened one, the endowed transcendent destroyer, the glorious conqueror, the subduer from the Shakya clan, I prostrate, make offerings, and go for refuge. To the founder of the endowed transcendent destroyer, the one gone beyond, the foe destroyer, the completely perfected, fully awakened being, perfect in knowledge and in good conduct, Siddhartha, knower of the world, supreme guide of human beings to be tamed, teacher of gods and human beings, to you, the completely and fully awakened one, the endowed transcendent destroyer, the glorious conqueror, the subduer from the Shakya clan, I prostrate, make offerings, and go for refuge. When, O supreme amongst humans, you were born on this earth, you paced out seven strides, then said, I am supreme in this world. To you who are wise, then I prostrate. With pure bodies, formed supremely pure, wisdom ocean like a golden mountain. Fame that blazes in the three worlds, winner of the best, Lord, to you I prostrate. With the supreme signs, face like spotless moon, color like gold, to you I prostrate. Dust free like you, the three worlds are not. Incomparably wise one, to you I prostrate. The Savior having great compassion, the Founder having all understanding, the field of merit with qualities like a vast ocean, to you the one gone to thusness I prostrate. The purity that frees one from attachment, the virtue that frees one from the lower realms, the one path, the sublime pure reality, to the Dharma that pacifies I prostrate. Those who are liberated and also show the path to liberation, the holy field qualified with realizations, who are devoted to the moral precepts, to you the sublime community intending virtue I prostrate. Homage to the Supreme Buddha, homage to the Dharma refuge, homage to the great Sangha, to all three ever devout homage, to all worthy of respect, now and with bodies as many as all realms, atoms in all aspects, with supreme faith I pay homage. Do not commit any non-virtuous actions, perform only perfect virtuous actions. Subdue your mind thoroughly. This is the teaching of Buddha. A star, a visual aberration, a flame of a lamp, an illusion, a drop of dew or a bubble, a dream, a flash of lightning, a cloud, sees conditioned things as such. Through these merits may sentient beings attain the rank of all seeing, subdue the foe of faults, and be delivered from samsara's ocean, perturbed by the waves of aging, sickness, and death. Heart Sutra. Thus did I hear at one time.
The Bhagavan was dwelling on massive vultures mountain in Rajagriha, together with a great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Bhagavan was absorbed in the concentration on the categories of phenomena called profound perception. Also at that time, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara looked upon the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom and beheld those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Then, through the power of Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara: how should any son of the lineage train who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom? He said that, and the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara said this to the Venerable Shariputra: Shariputra, any son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom should look upon it like this, correcting and immediately beholding those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Form is empty, emptiness is form, emptiness is not other than form, form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, discrimination, compositional factors, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, likewise, all phenomena are emptiness, without characteristics, unproduced, unceased, stainless, not without stain, not deficient, not unfilled. Shariputra, therefore, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no discrimination, no compositional factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object of touch, and no phenomena. There is no eye element, and so on, up to the moon, including no mind element, and no mental consciousness element. There is no ignorance, no extinction of ignorance, and so on, up to and including no aging and death, and no extinction of aging and death. Similarly, there is no suffering, origination, cessation, and power. There is no exalted wisdom, no attainment, and also no non-attainment. Shariputra, therefore, because there is no attainment, bodhisattvas rely on and dwell in the perfection of wisdom, the mind without obscuration and without fear. Having completely passed beyond error, they reach the end point of nirvana. All Buddhas who dwell in the three times also manifestly completely awakened to unsurpassable perfect complete enlightenment in reliance on the perfection of wisdom. Therefore, the mantra of the perfection of wisdom, the mantra of great knowledge, the unsurpassed mantra, the mantra equal to the unequal, the mantra that thoroughly pacifies all suffering should be known as truth since it is not false. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is declared. Tayata om gadayate paragate parasangate bodhisattva. Sariputra, the bodhisattva mahasattva should train in the profound perfection of wisdom like that. Then the Bhagavan arose from that concentration and commended the bodhisattva mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara saying, well said, son of the lineage, it is like that. One should practice the profound perfection of wisdom just as you have indicated. Even the Talagara is yours. The Bhagavan, having thus spoken, the venerable Sharivadiputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara, those surrounding in their entirety along with the world of gods, humans, asuras, and kandavas, were overjoyed and highly praised that spoken by the Bhagavan.
Over the page to page 15. I cross straight into the gathering of kings in the three chakras who abide in the holy yoga of using space. By your powers of clairvoyance and magical emanation, look out your practitioners like a mother and a child.
Akasa.
Tayata om gate gate paragate parasangate bodhisattva. By the teachings of the three supreme jewels possessing the power of truth, may inner and outer hindrances be transformed. May they be dispelled. May they be pacified. May they be completely pacified. May all negative forces opposed to the dharma be pacified. May the hosts of getting doubts and obstacles be pacified. May we be separated from problems and harmful conditions to Dhamma. May all enjoyments be in accord with the Dhamma. And may there be auspiciousness and perfect happiness here right now.
Over to the bottom of page 18.
Again, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, as is today, we will start with a short mindfulness breathing exercise, followed by motivations and visualization and recitation of mantras. Okay. Make yourself comfortable. And relax. Feel the weight of your body on the cushions. Let go of all the thoughts, feelings for a moment. While you breathe in and out normally, just focus your attention on the sensations of the breath on the nostril. If any feelings, thought, emotions arises, simply just be aware of that without making any judgmental thoughts, thinking whether it's good, bad, and so forth. Just watch if it comes and just let it come, go by itself without trying to do anything. Simply just being aware while focusing your attention on the breath. they can cultivate their good motivations, for example, by thinking and contemplating how fortunate and lucky that I am to have this precious human rebirth. Because there is so much potential if we can fully utilize it. This precious human rebirth has the potential to achieve happiness of this life or future lives, liberation, nirvana, and fully enlightened state. So fortunate, so lucky. How fortunate, lucky, even more so, to be still alive today, now. Giving us one more opportunity to purify all the negative karmas, delusions, if we wish to. Giving us the time or opportunity to accumulate merits. Giving us time and opportunity to improve ourselves and transform ourselves if we wish to. Therefore, I must not waste this incredible opportunity and fully utilize it, make best use of it. And make my life more meaningful and with a greater purpose. And there is nothing more meaningful or greater purpose than to be able to help, contribute, and benefit in reducing the suffering and cause of suffering of not just oneself, but all sentient beings. And to be able to help, contribute, and lead all sentient beings to happiness and cause of happiness. To be able to do that in most effective way, in most skillful way, without the limitations. I must achieve my highest potential, the fully enlightened state, as quick as possible. In order to achieve that fully enlightened state, I must reduce and gradually eliminate all the delusion, all the obscurations. By cultivating and fully developing all the realizations, particularly the highest level of compassion, bodhicitta, wisdom, understanding, emptiness. To do that, I need to practice, meditate, contemplate, unmistakably, continuously. For that, for the success of those practice, I need the blessings of the blessing and inspirations from the gurus, from the, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. For that very reason, I'm going to do the meditation or practice of Buddha Shakyamuni. Also, to be able to do the practice better, I need to learn, study more by reading, reflecting, contemplations, listening, engaging, discussing, so forth. For that very reason, I'm going to listen to the teachings, engage in discussions. So that I can enhance and improve my practice and understanding. Then the space in front of you, above you, visualize lotus seat. On top of that is a moon disc. On top of that, there is your root guru in the form or aspect of Buddha Shakyamuni. Sitting with the Vajra posture or cross leg posture, left hand holding the bowl filled with nectars, right hand in the earth touching mudra, wearing the three monks' saffron robes, with the ushnisha on the very top of the crown. Golden color, filled with aura, looking at you and all sentient beings with a great compassion eyes. Slightly smiling. Totally understanding our state of mind and our states, and totally accepting who we are without any judgmental thoughts. Always ready to help with incredible compassion and wisdom. Guru Buddha Shakyamuni is the manifestation of all the gurus, inseparable all the gurus. is the manifestation of all the Buddhas, inseparable from all other Buddhas. At the crown, you can visualize Om, white Om syllables. At the throat, red A syllable. At the heart, Hum, blue Hum syllable. Surrounded by Tayata Om Muni Muni Ma Muni Asova in clockwise. Then visualize all sentient beings surrounding yourself, engage in practice together. From the depth of your heart, make a strong request and supplications. To bless us, to inspire us, to guide us, to show us the path. To give us the courages to be able to practice and engage in the Bodhisattva's path and to dedicate for the welfare of all sentient beings. Buddha Shakyamuni is extremely pleased with that supplications and request. And very happily accept to help. As we recite the mantras, white light and nectar flow from the garlands of mantras and the heart of the Buddha Shakyamuni, Guru Shakyamuni. Into oneself, all sentient beings cleanse and purify all the sickness, all the spirit harms, all the negative karma, delusions, obscuration, totally. So while keeping that visualization, we recite the mantra. Tayata omone mone ma mone so. Tayata omone mone ma.
Mama.
So visualize your total conviction, just like taking shower, all our sickness, spiritual harm, negative karma, delusion, obscuration have been totally cleansed, purified. Oneself and all sentient beings become like crystal clear without even the trace of negative energy. Ready to receive the inspiration blessings without being contaminated. As we recite three more times, yellow and orange light nectar flow from the heart and the garland from mantras into oneself, all sentient beings, receiving all the blessing of body, speech, mind, all the inspirations, courages that we needed, and all the realizations, particularly the realizations of both citta and wisdom, understanding, emptiness. So while keeping that visualization, I can recite this time. Taya ta omone mone ma monae so taya ta omone mone ma monae so taya visualize a total conviction that we receive all the blessing of enlightened body, speech, and mind, thereby transforming our body, speech, and mind, receiving the inspirations, courages, all the realization from Guru devotions up to union of no more learning, particularly the realization of bodhicitta and wisdom, understanding, emptiness. Oneself, all sentient beings filled with all these realizations and blessing, and thereby experiencing incredible joy, peace, harmony. Remain in that state of great bliss, joyfulness, peacefulness. Then Guru Buddha Shakyamuni melts into light, into yourself. And your body, speech, and mind, and Guru Buddha Shakyamuni's body, speech, and mind become inseparable. Oneness. I can remain in that state of being oneness. Thereby stabilize the realizations. Then we dedicate the marriage to achieve fully enlightened state, the Buddhahood, and lead all sentient beings to Buddhahood. Gewa de nyoto ta lama sangye do yo ne zowa che yama lepa te sa la pe da isho. So yesterday we discussed about the importance of finding a qualified gurus or teachers, and having found a qualified guru and teachers, then the importance of relying properly and unmistakably with the gurus, and the way we rely properly and unmistakably is through the thoughts and actions, and relying on a guru through the thoughts by generating the faith, the trust, the confidence, and by remembering the kindness, cultivating a state of appreciation, gratitude, and respect, and then relying through the actions by offering service, time, whatever those are necessary, can be offered, and particularly by repaying the kindness and the offering of practice, by engaging into practice what has been taught and instructed by your guru. So the very reason why we have to rely on guru is so that we can make our life more meaningful with a greater purpose, so that we can not only take care of ourselves better, but so that we can contribute to take care of others as well. And of course, there are so many different ways to help others, take care of others. There are so many ways to contribute for the happiness of others. To be able to help those who are in need of food, to be able to offer the food, those who are in need of clothes, to be able to offer the clothes, those who are in sick, to be able to offer medications, treatment, whatever. Those who are in the needs of depression, to be able to offer some kind of encouragement, hope, and so forth. So many different ways that we can help, contribute, sentient beings. In that way. But even we are able to help in that way, unless we help them to overcome the delusions, still we will not be able to help them to free them permanently from all the problems. It is just solving one problem at one time. Again, after we have solved one problem, another problem will arise. And we help with that. Again, once it has been taken care of, another problem will, and it is never ending, even to take care of one person. So therefore, the best way for us to be able to contribute and to be able to help is to contribute and to be able to help, to overcome the delusions, which are the very source of all the problems, all the obscurations. And so to be able to do that, First, we should be able to overcome our own delusions. If we don't have overcome our own delusion, our own obscuration, then of course it will be very hard to contribute and help them to overcome the delusions. It is like when you are drowning yourself, you cannot help someone from being drowned. You yourself is struggling there. So therefore, we need to overcome the delusions and obscuration ourselves and achieve the highest potential, the fully enlightened state. So in order to achieve that fully enlightened state, it doesn't come just by praying and wishing. It comes through contemplation, meditation, practice, by cultivating all the realizations and bodhicitta and wisdom. So in order to cultivate and achieve and fully develop those inner realizations, of course, then we need to practice. In order to practice, we need to know how to practice correctly, properly, unmistakably. And for that is why we need to rely on teachers, guru, to show us how to practice unmistakably, correctly, the proper way to practice. And in order to achieve our high potentials, not only for the ourselves, for the benefit of all sentient beings, in order to help and be, in order to be most helpful and to be able to contribute in the most beneficial way, to be able to do that, to engage into that, we need to first understand the potential that we have. Once we have understood the potential we have, then we get inspired to do that. When we don't see the potential in ourselves, then of course we don't get inspired to do that. In everything, I think it's true in everything in our life. When you are engaging in any kind of project or anything, when you see the possibility, the potential there, possibility that it can be accomplished, then there is driving force. And when there is driving force, then of course there is better result. But when you are not sure whether the project is possible or not, when you don't see the full potential there, then of course there is less driving force, because you are not 100% confident in that. And so when you are not 100% confident, the driving force is less. When there is the driving force is less, there is less willpower, then of course you put less effort and result is same. So therefore, understanding the potentials, recognizing and understanding the potential become very important. So as for that, we discuss about our potentials of precious human rebirth. Recognizing. Recognizing how fortunate we are to have all these 18 qualities of the 8 freedom and 10 endowment. Recognizing that and appreciating that. Sometimes we make our life miserable ourselves because we think so negative all the time. I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm unworthy of this, I'm incapable of this and that. I don't have this and that. Every day is like that. And we make our life much more miserable by ourselves, by thinking that way. But then if we think positively, for example, just in this case, the 18 qualities that we have, we possess, we should be so happy every day. I'm going through each, if we have time, going through each of those 18 qualities slowly and reflecting, contemplating, can be very helpful, very inspiring, can be very encouraging, can uplift you very much. So the eighth freedom, the freedom from being born in hell realms, the freedom from being born in hungry ghost realms, having the freedom from being born in a animal realms, having the freedom from being born in a what we call long life. Long life God, or then God, having the freedom, being born in a kind of barbarian where you don't have any land, where you don't have any spirituality, any Dharma, having the freedom from being born with a disability, physically and mentally, particularly mentally, where it can be obstacle for the practice. the freedom from being born with a total wrong views. We're totally rejecting the Dharma without any valid reasons. Then what is that? Another one on Umbhoma Tsongwa. Sadhukyawa. Dawa Loba. One missing. Do you remember? Okay. Which one? Okay. When the Buddha has not been born, okay, place where at the time when Buddha has not appeared. So I think when we don't reflect, sometimes we take everything for granted, and that we don't appreciate it. But if you really reflect, contemplate it, all these freedoms, incredible freedom that we have to practice the Dharma, If you are born in hell realms, the opportunity to practice Dharma is almost none, extremely limited, and we just have to see, compare with our experience when we are, let's say the weather is 50 degrees and outside, if someone asks you to meditate, I mean, it is quite natural for us, we will not be able to, unless you have already highly advanced practitioner, it will be extremely hard for us to focus and meditate and practice. The only things which come in the outer, how to get a place where there's less hot. If it's extremely freezing and you have no heater, nothing, it's freezing below 40, 50, and someone asks you to practice, would you be able to practice? I mean, for us, for ordinary beings, at the beginners, it almost seems impossible. The immediate your concern is how to make you warm. How can I find something to make it warm? Can I find some clothes? Can I make fire? Is there anything that is constant? Even you try to, your mind always go there because. And so compared to hell beings, there is nothing. So therefore, it will be 1,000 times much higher degree and minus. So we can just imagine. Even being born as a human being, if we are kind of in that kind of situations, or environment, again, it will be very hard for us, not having the facility. So we should appreciate that we are very fortunate to have all these facilities every day, regardless of whatever. There are so many other beings in the world who are exposed to that kind of very high heat and very cold, without any facilities to reduce the coldness or heat. Just think that you might think I'm so lucky. Hungry ghost. I think many of you, if you have done the nyungne, the fasting retreat, the second day when you don't eat, when you don't drink, most people have very difficult at that day finding, not having enough energy. The first day maybe you might be able to do a lot of frustration, but that day you don't have that much energy to do that. And yeah, some people get headaches, cannot sleep in the night, all kind of things. So it's very difficult to focus. And we are talking about just one day. Imagine when you don't have anything to eat or drink for a month, weeks, months, whether we will be able to focus on our practice, even there is practice, unless again someone is very advanced practitioner. For a beginner, it is almost impossible. So we are talking about with the hungry ghost, not 1 year, 2 years, hundreds and thousands. We are talking about eons, sometime, or 500 their lifetime, which is so many of human lifetime. So. Then, even in this human life, again, same thing, if we are starving, the immediate our thought is how to find something to eat. That will be instant kind of thoughts constantly coming all the time. Even if you try to meditate, even if you try to focus, you will not be able to focus, because it's like when you have a lot of pain, when you are meditating pain, it's very hard to contemplate on the breath. Your mind goes instantly to the pain, because that is instant. So similarly, that is how it is. So therefore, and again, even in this human life, there are so many people who are starving, who don't have enough to eat, who are starving every day, struggling, starving. Again, by thinking on that, we should feel so lucky. We are so lucky, so fortunate that I have enough to eat, enough to survive. That gives us the freedom and opportunity to practice the Dharma. If we don't have that, we will be struggling to just to stay alive. You see, all these things sometimes we take for granted. We never think that we have all these things. And small things doesn't go according to our wishes, then we complain all the time, which makes our life miserable and also make other persons miserable as well. The freedom to practice Dharma, because we are not being born in animal realms. In animal realms, if we are born in animal, it is quite clear. No matter how intelligent the animal might be, it is very hard them to teach them how to practice. For some animal, maybe we might be able to teach to say some words, mantras, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Ahum, some. But to teach them, maybe we might be able to teach them to do some kind of physical things, jumping, all these things. But to work with their mind, it just seems impossible, as far as I understand. Even the dolphins, which are one of the smartest, I don't know if you teach them how to meditate or how to contemplate, basically, whether they are able to do that. So from that perspective, again, we can see how fortunate we are not to be born there and to have the opportunity to practice. Despite some of us might not be so, so sharp to understand the Dharma immediately, and we might not be able to practice so well like some of others, but still we have this potential, ability, capacity much more higher than compared to the brightest animal, for example. Yeah, I saw one dog in someone's house in the United States, and he taught him how to say Om Ahum. He can really say very well. That was the first dog I've ever seen. Parrots, they are known for that. Parrots, they can, if you teach them. But dogs, one dog, Om Ahum, Om Ahum. Each time he gives some treat. He had two dogs. One dog cannot make and but one dog, and he told him also Om Mani Padme Hum. I think it is too long. So he can make similar sound, but he cannot really pronounce Om Mani Padme Hum. I think it is too long for him. But Om Ma Hum is three, he can really make it so clearly, Om Ma Hum. So anyway, with so much training, that is what you can train, just to say the word. Even that long word, long mantras, is almost impossible. So from that perspective, again, we are very fortunate and lucky that we are not born in one of those states. We are born as a human beings and have the capacity to do much more than that. If you are born in a so-called long life God, or other kind of God, any kind of the God, demigod, again, the opportunity to practice the Dharma is very limited. In this so-called Lazarus Buddha, the long life God, supposedly it is like at the very beginning, when one is born there, you have the consciousness saying, I'm being born. When you die, there's consciousness there. In between is like flat, like bliss out. No consciousness, nothing is like just flat, bliss out. So of course there is no way you can contemplate and practice, meditate. It's just like you have taken high, one of those LDC or something, you're somewhere high. I think in that case, maybe people can actually really, still they can function. But here, their mind cannot function, it's like flight. It's just bliss out, it's like going to sleep, something like that. And so, and even we are born in other realms, I mean, the desire world, and I'm totally distracted by the the object of desire. In some of the God realms, higher God realms, they are totally distracted by the like the shamatas or concentrations, and bliss out in that state. So they cannot do much more than that, cannot function much more than that. So being born here give us the best opportunity to practice the Dharma. You see, sometimes maybe we might think, you know, if I was born in God, maybe there might be less suffering. And we might think there is too much suffering in this life, in this world. Well, maybe to some extent, there is more gross suffering here. But at the same time, the opportunity to practice Dharma is much more here. And that is why many of the bodhisattvas who are born in a pure land, they inspire to be born in a human realms. Because the human realms has the best opportunity to practice the Dharma. I think there is the balance. Not too much suffering and not too much distractions or bliss out. Lower realms, there is too much suffering. God, demigod, is more like too much bliss out and totally distracted. Totally distracted. So therefore, they cannot improve more than that. And exhausting whatever good karma they have created. It is just experiencing that result and not being able to create new cause conditions. And of course, not being able to make much progress in their spiritual path. We have the freedom that we are not being born in a time when Buddha has not appeared during the dark age. During the dark age, if you are born in during the dark age, then there is no exposure to the Dharma, because there is no existence of the Dharma. So therefore, even if you wish to practice the Dharma, there is no information, there is no one, nothing there. Being born in a place where there is no, so even during the so-called golden age or light age, or when Buddha has appeared in the world, but if you are born in a place where there is no exposure to the Dharma, then again you don't have the opportunity to practice the Dharma. It is very unfortunate, but more or less is becoming, even Tibet is becoming like that now, and at the moment. You don't have the freedom to practice the Dharma. And there are many places in the world, within this world. Sometimes there is no freedom to practice Dharma because of the government policies, suppressions. Sometimes because the Dharma has not reached those places, there is no information in those places. So we are very fortunate. We are very fortunate. You are born in a place where you have all this Dharma in front of you everywhere. If you wish to do so many books, so many. You can find so much information, so many where, and there are so many teachers as well. To some extent, sometimes we say we are in degenerating time. To some extent, yes, it is degenerate time, but at the same, from one perspective, we have much more exposure to the Dharma than it used to be. Sometimes I wonder, you know, even in Buddha's time, Buddha was the only one actually who was giving teaching. Gradually, of course, some of his disciples, Shakyamuni, Mangalvana, and all, they started to teach, but still very few. How many people really have exposure to the Dharma at that time? At that time they didn't have the car, they have walk, how much they can reach. Compared to that, at moment, maybe there is danger of having too many. Too many and not being able to make the right decisions. But exposure, so therefore from that perspective, we are very lucky to be born in this time. Do you get it what I mean? Sometimes, you know, our mind wanders, you know, I wish I was born during the Buddha's time, and maybe things could have been better. Instead of utilizing what we have at the moment, that is more or less, we always kind of, our mind always become like that. I wish I was born in Tibet as a monk. Instead of utilizing who you are and what you have now. Do you get what I mean? Sometimes when I reflect, I feel we are so fortunate to be born in this time in this world. We might not have met the Buddha himself, but equally there is someone equally same like his own Dalai Lama. Of course, it is our choice whether we want to go to his teaching or not, we wish to meet him or not. But there is someone. So we are very fortunate. We are very fortunate and lucky that, and we have the freedom to practice the Dharma because we are born with, at least, without the defective organs or especially the disability of our brain or mind. If there is disability, then our brain cannot function, our mind cannot function, then it will be very hard to practice again. If we have some problem in some of our sense organs, blind, deaf, all these things, again, it will be limiting. Of course, it doesn't mean you cannot practice the Dharma, but it limits the exposure and informations that you need to practice the Dharma. The blind, they can only read certain, only those which has been translated with what you call, and that is very limited. Very few that they can do that. And if you are deaf, again, same things. You have to depend on sign language, all these things. And again, that would be very limiting again. I think how much information they can provide with just the sign language, for example. So therefore, it all will be limiting. So from that perspective, when we think that we should be very grateful, very very grateful, very feel very fortunate and appreciate it, basically, that we have more opportunity to practice the Dharma from that perspective. Then of course, if you have total wrong view, rejection of the Dharma totally without any, then of course again you don't have the opportunity to practice the Dharma at all, because you have already rejected. Your mind is closed, your mind has not been open-minded to even explore and to find what it is. You have already kind of closed your mind, closed yourself, rejected from the very beginning without even exploring it. So therefore, at least we are open-minded, willing to explore. So that, again, that gives us much more opportunity. So therefore, going through each of them and feeling so grateful, appreciating so much. So each of them, we can, when you do meditation with each of subjects, you can think, if I was born in Hatham, what it is like to be. Trying to be in that state, experiencing that state, what it is like to be. Then, after that, then you come, how lucky and fortunate I am that I am not in that state. How fortunate, lucky I'm not that state. So each of them you do same kind of meditation. Again, you try to be in the realm of hungry bulls, what it is like to be in that state. Try to experience the experience of being in that state. Once you have a little bit of feeling of that, then again next, try to think how fortunate that I'm not being born there. And I have the freedom to practice the Dharma much more. So you can go with each of those, each of the same, all with the all adding qualities. And then freedom, because if you are born in one of those eight states, then of course we don't have the freedom and opportunity to practice the Dharma. And because we are not being born one of those states, we have the freedom and opportunity to practice the Dharma. So that is why we have got all these freedoms. The ten leisure or ten, no, the eight freedom or eight leisure. And then ten endowment in relation, five with oneself and five in relation to others. Being born as a human beings, being born in a place where the Dharma is there, center place or the Dharma. Basically, being born with all defect. Being born as not having created one of the five uninterrupted actions. Being born having some kind of having been born with some kind of faith or trust in the teachings. So these are the five. Then being born when the Buddha has come in the world, being born when not only Buddha has come in the world, when Buddha have given the teachings, not only Buddha has taught the teaching, but Dharma is still alive, still not totally declined, still flourishing. Being born in a place when there is a great practitioners who are living the teachings, so which inspire us. Being born in a time when where there is some support, encouragement, support for our practice. So these are the ten what you call endowment, richness. So these are the conditions that we have gathered. So these are the conditions we need to be able to practice the Dharma, to have the opportunity and freedom to practice the Dharma. And we are free from those obstacles, and we have gathered the conditions. So basically, so therefore, again, with each of them, again, you can go details with when you do meditation. Sometimes it is, of course, we might not have time to do each of them details every time, but time to time, if you can go with each of qualities, as I mentioned, being in that state, what it is like experiencing, and then feeling, I'm so glad I'm not in that state, how fortunate I am, and with that, it seems very simple. Sometimes it seems too simple, but it can be very enhancing and very enriching. It's similar with the breathing, you know, just watching breath seems so simple. You see, but once you have done very well, then the result is incredible. Same, these 18 qualities going with each, it seems too simple, you know. Sometimes we want complicating. It seems too simplicity and seems not much point going detail with each. But once you go with, you will experience that. And then you will see simplicity is simple, but it has profound meaning and profound experience with each of them. So that is recognizing the 18 qualities within oneself, and with that, sometimes we make a prayer. In the future, may I be free from all the obstacles to practice the Dharma. May I have right condition to practice the Dharma. But right now you have that. Right now we have that and we have utilized it. But for sometimes that is what is very strange. But that is what we pray, we don't utilize what we have now, but we pray to have that one same in the future. In one way, it doesn't make sense at all. What you are praying, you already have here now, but not utilizing it, but praying to have all the conditions in the future. So that what we need is to utilize this now when you have all the conditions together, the best condition that you can imagine. So I think if you go with, as I said, it's simple, but it can have very profound experience, especially when your mind is kind of low, down, depressed, thinking I'm not capable of this, I don't have this, I have this. I think maybe if you do that kind of meditations, it can be very helpful. So this is just one example. There can be not 10 endowments, there can be 100 endowments, there can be 100 freedom. You just compare with others, many different, where they don't have the opportunity to practice the Dharma. And you just think about the conditions that you have gathered, well, others have not been able to gather. So from that, you would try to reflect on that. So then it can help you to uplift your mind from being too down or too low or too depressed. Your mind gets too depressed and low when you think too much on the negativities. What you are not capable of, what you cannot do, what you don't have. When you focus more on what you can do, what capability you have, what you can do, what potential you have, then it can help you to uplift. So that is where we need to contemplate, meditate more on that when we feel that way. So in some of the texts, it explains, after you do meditation on this, recognizing the 18 qualities, or recognizing the precious human rebirth, going through each of them, and then after going through this contemplation meditation, when you feel so joy, as though a person, very poor person, finding a billions of dollars or gold, the joy that he or she has. In the same way, after contemplation, when you feel the joy of that, then that is a sign that you have made a progress in this practice. Having a realization of this practice, or getting close to that realization. Not overjoy where you collapse. I heard somewhere, I think someone made a, what they call, they won a lottery project, I don't know how many millions, and someone died, just couldn't take collapse. So not like that. So basically the point of this is, once you do that meditation, you have to feel joy, appreciation, feeling of Also, when you have that, there is also a feeling of content, you know? I have so much. Before you think I have nothing, it feels like you have nothing. And dissatisfied and so unhappy and all this. But when you go through each of these thoroughly and slowly and gradually, you begin to feel how much you have. And then there's a sense of, yes, I might not have other things, but there is so much. Just having this precious human rebirth, there is so much within just this itself. It's like you have found, you have not found, you have discovered your full potentials. Before, you have not discovered your full potentials. Therefore, you feel that there is nothing much here. You are looking somewhere outside. But now you feel you don't have to look outside. There's so much within. And you discover your full potentials, how much you have. So that can be very uplifting, that can be very joyful, that can be very satisfying content. The whole, the beauty of all this practice of all these different lumbering subjects is each of those subjects, when it is done properly, well, and when you have some kind of even the glimpse of realizations, it makes huge difference in your experience. So that is recognizing. Then secondly, contemplating on the how useful this precious human rebirth is, how much benefit it has, how much potential it has, in terms of with this precious human rebirth, if we fully utilize it, it has incredible potential. Of course, if we don't utilize it, then it's our fault. But as a precious human beings, we have incredible potential. The potential to achieve happiness of this life. All the people who achieve a greatest height in their own field, in different areas, achieve with this kind of same life, the same human life. Whether in spirituality, whether in terms of music, whether in terms of all different. And we do have those potential to achieve. More than that, with this precious human rebirth, we have the potential to achieve happiness in all future life, from happiness to happiness, all the future lives. Which none of the material things can achieve or be able to do that. No matter how much rich you can have, you cannot buy higher rebirth for the next future life. One cannot buy. No matter how powerful someone might be, he cannot guarantee, he or she cannot guarantee better future life. Better future next life, what I'm talking about. With this precious human rebirth, not only that, we can achieve total liberation, nirvana, total freedom from all the delusions and samsara and delusions. More than that, we can achieve fully enlightened state, the omniscient state, free from all the, not only the delusions, but even the subtle obscurations, which obstruct to be omniscient, to know everything as it is. To this state where You have overcome all the faults, all the defects. And where you have accomplished all the knowledge, all the qualities, all the good things. So each of us has that potential. So therefore, if you see it, then again, if you really think it, if we really contemplate and think it, absolutely it has that potential. But at the moment, we don't recognize that. We don't recognize that. If we were to compare billions of dollars on one side and one person, probably a lot of people might choose the billions. Do you get it? Because they don't see the worthy of their own life, the value of their own life, the potential of their own life. They see more value in somewhere there, much more value there. And that is not being able to understand the value of this precious human rebirth, the potential of this precious human rebirth. And not understanding that value, then we waste our precious human rebirth so much. We waste our precious human rebirth for meaningless things, or very, very tiny meanings. There isn't much meanings, but very tiny. So it's like someone who is not having understood the value of gold, exchanging that gold with a one penny or $1. Do you get it? And at the moment, it seems to be like that for us. And I think that is because we haven't really understood the value and potential of our precious human life. If we really understood, we will not exchange that, I don't know how many, 10 kg of gold with $1. But when you don't understand, it seems that is much more value, and then you exchange it. So, understanding that. Each moment is incredible moment and valuable. Each moment, each second, each day, we can get closer to our potentials. Each day, we can purify all the negative karma. Each day, we can accumulate merit. Each day, we can practice the contemplate and practice the lamrim. Each day, we can contemplate on bodhicitta and get closer and closer to the enlightenment. Each moment, each day, each hour, each minute has that potential in our life if we utilize it. If we utilize it one moment, one second, we can make huge difference. Within one second, we can purify so much negative karma if we utilize properly. Within one second, we can create so many merit. Within one second, we can contemplate and get closer to the enlightenment. And that is how much potential and value that we have as a having a precious human rebirth. So I think maybe we'll have a break. Okay. Mage pana ge yo je ke wa nyam ba me ma ya kon le kon do pe wa shu.